break that ice that's hanging on you. And let's open up the scripture today. And let's pray the Holy Ghost is able to move about in our midst. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4 and verse number 10. John chapter number 4 and verse number 10. The scripture says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Father, bless this book. Give me unction to preach it, Lord. That's what I'm here for. That's what you've called me to do. I know it and you know it. I've answered that call. I pray you'd use me this morning. And Heavenly Father, let me decrease and let thy blessed Son increase in all ways, in every way, in every possible manner. Bless your word as it goes forth. My Heavenly Father, pray the Holy Spirit will take your word this morning and help someone. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll be seated. I want to preach a message this morning. I have entitled it, Gracious Questions. Gracious Questions. In plain words, the Lord Jesus Christ is asking questions. Obviously, when God asks a question, it's not because he wants to know something. It's because he wants you to acknowledge something. That's the point. Or he's trying to lead you into a deeper understanding of an issue or try to show you something. The Lord already knows it. He knows the answer to it, and he knows all things. But if you notice what he said to this Samaritan woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God, this woman had five husbands. Man she was with now wasn't her husband. She was notorious. She had a reputation in the community. She was coming to draw water, and she was alone. Women wouldn't even be seen with her because, of course, they would be tarnished by being around someone like that. I've often wondered why the Lord Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went by to see her with the rest of them. The rest of them needed him just as much as she did, no question about that. But he chose this one woman. A lot of times when you read something in the Bible, it doesn't mean that you've read everything there is to say about it. But it could be that it's in there as an object lesson to teach us something, to draw our attention to an issue that needs to be dealt with. She was a Samaritan. She was a half-breed Jew. She had the Pentateuch, Genesis through the book of Exodus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. She had the first five books of the Bible. And she had a limited knowledge and understanding of God. They worshipped God at Mount Gerizim. And so she was definitely acquainted. She wasn't ignorant. She wasn't an ignorant pagan coming from the outside, knew nothing of God with a bunch of pagan gods. She knew a lot. But the Lord said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that you're talking to, you'd ask of me. Now that's the issue this morning. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible teaches us very plainly that we are not saved by works, but the gift of God. Salvation is the free gift of God. But it's hard for proud people to receive a gift. Now that's a lesson, really. And pride seems to be one of the greatest problems that we've got today. People are very proud. They can't believe that God would do something for them and not expect anything in return. And you want to pay the Lord back. You want to do something. Show him how appreciative you are of the issue. But God said it's already been done. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the sin debt. And he's looking at you seeking something deep down inside your soul. Are you willing to receive a gift? So if you knew the gift of God, you'd ask of him. Religion will not give you the free gift of God. The religious world wants to make you feel good about yourself, either that, or they want to lord it over you and control every act that you do. That's what they do. That's religion. That's what it's all about. But in this house, if you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll make you free. Matthew chapter 17, Matthew 11 rather, in verse number 27. Here's another question sent forth, a gracious question. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. To whomsoever the Son will reveal him, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What a challenge to say unto you. Because you say, preacher, you have any idea what it was on me when I got up this morning? Well, I know what was on me. Amen. And you're not the one up here preaching. I am. Y'all try it sometime. Stagger around, get drunk. I worked as a mechanic, professional mechanic for years. I could get drunk one night, get up the next day and rebuild a motor. Wouldn't bother me one bit. But I can't get drunk and then get up the next morning and try to preach to you. Can't do it. Won't work. You just cannot do it. There's something different about it, that God puts us in a place where he requires something. So we labor. We have our problems. We have our issues. And it comes against us. We know that. But you know something? All through everything that I have gone through, and this message is not about me this morning, but I want you to understand something. I'm just like you, living in the same world you're living in, facing the same problems you face, having the same issues that you have. And I know what it's done for me. It's drawn me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't live without him. Have to have him. So come unto me, he said. Try him. Try him. Get rid of your religion and try the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. John chapter number 7, verse number 37. Another question. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Thirst, that's something. You can go longer without food than you can drink. You know that, don't you? You understand that you've got to. And drinking in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're thirsty, he said, if you want the Holy Spirit of God, God is such a gracious God that once you desire spiritual things, he begins to open up a banquet table for you and sets it before you, and you can eat freely and drink freely. So if you thirst, let him come unto me. Have you gotten to that point yet? Have you matured to the place to where you've quit trying to work it out and you're finally ready to turn it over to God and say to the Lord, Lord, I've made a mess of it. I need your help. Be surprised how simple prayers can get answered. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 50. Here's another gracious question. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now this is remarkable. Now what look, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Why, you would think a question like that would be totally unnecessary. I mean, here's a man blind. And the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? Now think about that for a moment. Think about it for a moment. Here's a man that cannot see. And the Lord said, what would you have me do for you? You say, well, a preacher, obviously he wants to get his sight back. Yes, he does. But you see, my friend, the Lord can do a whole lot more for you than just give you your sight. Follow me through the rest of the message now here this morning. Yes, he can. You see, sometimes the outward problem, the parent that is obvious, the physical need that we have, whatever it may be, is simply an outer shell to open up to get into who's inside. God can take away your outward problem, but that's not your real problem. Sometimes he has to get that out of the way before he can start talking to you. Are you following me? Oh, yes. You see, in our limited capacity, in our blindness, our spiritual blindness, we diagnose our problems. We got it all figured out, and we come to the Lord, and we go into our prayer closet, and we lay out verse by verse, word by word, exactly what we need. We really don't know what we need, if you want to know the truth about it. He alone knows what we really need. But sometimes he has to get the obvious out of the way. The Bible says in John chapter number 5, and verse number 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. God allows people to go through a long time of suffering on this earth. Sorrow. He that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. As the sparks fly upward as they shoot. If you haven't had any, thank God. But sail on. Yes, live. I don't want a 15-year-old telling me what life's about. Let me talk to a 100-year-old. Then you tell me what life's about. Talk to somebody that's buried two or three children, a husband or a wife, fought the battle through sickness and sorrow and death. And then I'll talk to you about what life is about. You'll learn a lot as you move on. Don't be so quick to judge the older people. If you haven't been there, you really don't know what it's like till you've been there. And once you're there, you may learn something about life. I told you all the time about 1 John chapter number 1. About this is the chapter that has to do with your fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God is absolutely essential for your Christian life. You cannot serve the Lord by trying to observe the Ten Commandments. Can't do it. All that will do is build your ego, where you think you've observed them, or whatever system of laws and do's and don'ts that you've got laid out for yourself. That's not going to do anything but build pride in you. No, fellowship with God is walking in light. It's the light of God as he looks deep down inside your soul. I woke up the other morning. I'd had a time of it in dreams that night. You may not dream. I swear, when I go to sleep sometimes, I move on and no telling where I'm going to wind up. But I woke up the next morning and I didn't like what I had dreamed. It was bothering me. Now, you may not dream stuff like that. God bless your soul. It's so quiet in here. You don't usually hear stuff like this in church, do you? Well, I woke up the next morning. I didn't like what I dreamed. You know what I did? I went down to my prayer closet and I confessed to God. But I talked to him. I said, Lord, I don't like what I dreamed. And I don't know how much control I have over my dreams, and probably really don't have any. But I don't like it. And I'm confessing it to you, and I want you to take it. I want you to cleanse it. I want you to take it out of my mind and take it out of my heart and get it out of here. You know what happened? Peace like a river flooded my soul. And I'm just talking about dreaming. How many of you think I'm crazy, and how many of you listen to what I'm saying? You know why? Because I know God. I know how he can look down inside you. I know how he can really look down inside you. And I learned something. He showed me something that night. He showed me something that night that I hadn't, because I hadn't done anything. It's just what I was dreaming. I wanted to acknowledge to God that old man, and that had to be who it was. It's the old man. We all have the old man. If you're born again, there's two of you. And I didn't like what he was dreaming. And I confessed it. And he took it and he lifted it and he carried it away. Is that eating you up? Is that bothering you? If you're having that issue, don't let Satan wire you out with it. Just take it and confess it to God. And you'll be amazed at how something like that can make all the difference in the world. 38 years, the Lord went and said, wilt thou be made whole? 38 years, He had 38 years he lay there. God said, wilt thou be made whole? Oh, yes, Lord. I mean, I can't. Look, I tried to get into the water. Somebody beats me. I need to be able to walk. No. What you need is much greater than that. You see, you're already beaten down. You're already a slave. You're already in victimhood. And you can't get out of it. Notice he'd already given up. Notice, he said, there's no hope for me. And the Lord said, will you be made whole? He took care of the first part to open up for the second part. And that's what he has to do for us. He has to get our attention. Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine, his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In plain words, he wore him out and he couldn't turn him away. He couldn't say no. He couldn't, in the sense of, don't bother me anymore. No, he couldn't do that because you're a child of God. We have access to the Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Time and time and time and time and time again. Well, preacher, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I haven't seen God answer the prayer. Keep praying. Because look what he says. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Don't let Satan stop you from praying. Don't let him hinder you from coming to your prayer closet. Lord of mercy, I'm telling you, friend, I've been driven to my knees, to my prayer closet, like you wouldn't believe. I'm not a quitter. If you tuck your tail and run, let me tell you what you're going to spend your life doing, running. You'll run for the rest of your life. And you'll never get victory over anything. Over here at the University of Tennessee, I think at the football practice, when these guys practice football, whatever, maybe basketball, all the rest of it, as they leave and go out onto the field, there's a thing across the top that they slap their hand against and says, "This day I will give my all for the University of Tennessee." That's fine. I'm going to slap mine and say, "This day I give my all to the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. I'd rather die on the battlefield. I'd rather die on the battlefield with a sword in my hand. What about turning the other cheek? Read your Bible. He told him to buy a sword. And that's the way I'll go. I'll die on the battlefield, and God will answer that prayer with a sword in my hand. I'll die fighting. And that's when he takes me from this earth. Are you a quitter? Are you a quitter? If you're a quitter, you're never going to make it. You can't quit with God, because God won't quit with you. Ask and you shall be, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. John chapter number 6 and verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's what fills up the churches today. Yes, sir. That's what fills them up. It's meeting, as they say. They go out in the community and they survey the community. They want to find out what the felt needs are among the people. As if to say, you really know what you need. But the truth of the matter is, I need a father who knows how to chasten me and deal with me and give me light when I need light. I need a father who loves me, that opens doors for me, and he shows me where I need training, I need teaching. I need the hand of God. I need a father. Not to take charge of my own life and lead myself around so I can boast and brag about how I've served the Lord to give God glory. No, you're giving yourself glory. You're not giving God any glory. It's when you can hardly lift your head. It's when everything's gone against you. It's when there is no apparent answer to prayer. And you still say, "I still love him. Whether he slay me or not, I still love him. He's my Lord and he's my God." Amen. Is he your father? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," he said. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, he did it to please the Father, in obedience to the Father, by the unction and power of the Father, by the filling of the Holy Ghost of the Father. He came to serve the Father. In serving the Father, he served us. In being obedient to the Father, he was obedient to what the Father wanted, to go to the cross. And being obedient to the Father to go to the cross, he offered himself without sin as a sacrifice for us. No, God doesn't tell me that I have to figure life out. He doesn't tell me that I have to understand the secrets of life. But what he does tell me is this: cast your care before me. Cast it on me, for I care for you. So he says, "Ask, and it shall be given to thee." Then he says, "You seek me because you fill your belly, not because you want something that's real." Let me give you two great principles in Scripture. There's many more, but here are two. When we are left to ourselves to diagnose our problems, we're left in the dark. Yeah, we are. When you're left to yourself to try to figure out what God's doing in your life,
or to try to figure out an answer for your prayers, or to try to figure out how to do something. You're left to your own devices, and you're left in darkness. God must get you to where he can talk to you and get you to listen. Some of you won't listen. Now, some of you may be intrigued a little bit. You may be stirred a little bit. It may cause you to think just a little bit before you leave this house today. You think, well, you know, the preacher did make a few good points. Maybe God does speak to us. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 14, and verse number 28, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he'd sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said to his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. You know what happened? Joab came quickly. You know why? Because he got his attention. How many of you have something that you know it's back? It's kind of aching. You kind of put it in the back. You know God wants to talk to you about it, but you won't listen to him. Or you know that God wants you to do something, but you won't listen to him. And you know that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and you're kind of afraid, and you wonder, is God ever going to do something about what I'm doing? Is he going to say anything about this? God can get your attention to where he can talk to you. Sometimes it's a hospital bed. Oh, Lord, sometimes it's a funeral home. Oh, God. My mother in Chicago, Illinois, I'd go see her on occasion now and then. She always wanted to take me to Skid Row in Chicago. Well, Skid Row in Chicago is a big Skid Row. Every city, I'm sure, has its Skid Row. Chicago's a big city. And so we went down Skid Row. For some reason, she wanted me to see Skid Row. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, she wanted to see Skid Row. Knoxville's got a Skid Row. We've got Skid Rows out here. I heard a man say something to me yesterday. He said, I used to walk a beat. He said, we could walk down a certain street. And he said, we could hear the old drunks gurgling down there. Gurgling, or whatever noise that the old drunks made. Thought came to my mind immediately. Yeah, I could have been one of those old drunks. Yeah, I don't get any pleasure in seeing somebody sleeping under a bridge. You can drive off these interstates and take the exit off the interstates. You can look off in the woods and you can see the buggies down there where they've pushed them and they got their tents and their garbage piled up. And this, you wouldn't want to live there, would you? It's only by the grace of God I'm not there. I don't make fun of these people. And I sure don't think I'm better than them. God's been good to me. Lord of mercy's been good to me. I'm telling you, he's been good to me. Why? For every right reason, I ought to be down there. I ought to be under the bridge. Good night, man. God was gracious 1973 when he saved my soul. If anybody in this house this morning deserves to go to hell, it's me. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't have to fear hell. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He's been good to me, folks. When you're 79 years old, you got a long past. I can think about things that happened 60 years ago better than I can remember what I ate yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. And I say to myself, you've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to me. Why did you come to me? Why did you convict me? Why did you bring light to me? I was in darkness. I was lost. Man could have been any more lost than I was, and you came to me. He came to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll get your attention. Then the perceived need is only the mask to be removed to reveal the real need. He must strip away the stuff you're hiding behind. Over here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 20, when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he'd caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord, for the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. It's easy in a church house to just kind of wiggle around here and wiggle here, and you teach here and sing here and do this here and take up offering here and pray here and this and that and this and that and this and that and get caught up in the group. The truth of the matter is, that's not going to do one thing for your relationship with the Lord. Not one thing. What you're doing is hiding behind people. You are. If there's somebody between you and God right now, somebody, I don't care who it is, just all it takes is one. And you can't have peace with God, and you can't pray to the Lord, and you can't walk in fellowship with God because of so-and-so? Man, they got to be big. Tell me. You mean to tell me that you can't come to church and you can't read your Bible and you can't fellowship with the brethren because of so-and-so?
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Well, folks, in the few short years that I've been in the church, I've met everything under the sun. I'm telling you, how about some of you veteran pastors? Brother McDonald, have you met anything in church? Brother Lee, everything. Anything and everything. Amen. Anything. We had one man come through here and he couldn't keep his hands off the girls. He couldn't keep his hands off of them. And he came to church. He sit over here and he was pulling their hair. He was touching them. He was this, that. We took him back here in the office and we confronted him over him and said, look, you can't do that. Well, I've got my rights. And he pulled the Constitution of the United States out. I've got my rights. He didn't stop at that. He got him a lawyer and sued us. And where'd he come from? He didn't come from downtown. He came from the pew right over there. He was the perpetrator. Yet when he was confronted, he did sue. And we had to go downtown and deal with the issue and get an attorney to defend the church. He wanted to extort tens of thousands of dollars from this church. For whatever reason, Lord only knows, for whatever reason. And the problem with guys like him is they have reputations. Where'd that come from? Came right out of the church. Are you sitting next to one right now? What are you sitting next to? Do you know him? You know the person you're, do you know the one you go to eat with? Do you know the one that you're fellowshipping with? Can't believe it. As long as I've been in this church, I've seen good, sweet young women grow up. Watched them grow from a little girl into a fine looking young woman. And then some sorry low-down dog that's been coming to church marry her and treat her like a dog. Oh, yeah. And she got him in church. That's a tough one, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I've seen that more than once. Oh, yeah. I've seen it. You say, you talking to me like that? I don't know. Am I talking to you? That's pretty good. Are you mad? You know, you throw a rock down a dark alley and the dog that yelps is the one that got hit. I'm throwing some rocks this morning. Well, anyway, let's move on. We'll run out of time. I have to say what I got here. But he'll pull it aside. And what he did, he pulled it aside and he got their attention. And we know what happens. In Luke chapter number 17, verse 15, I want to get this in this morning. Luke chapter 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Okay, now let's just look at it on the simple surface of it, all right? Leprosy is a horrid thing, all right? It was cleansed. God cleansed them. He healed every one of them. But what that did
is once the leprosy was removed, was to reveal the real character of the man who was a leper. Because the real character of that man, he was so thankful. He was humble. He came back and he fell on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ, said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It shows that you don't have to be the pure blood Jew to have true faith in God. This is the Samaritan. And more than once the Samaritan is used. You've heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh yeah, but here's the point. It was when the outward problem was stripped away that it showed the true character of the man inside. Yes. You see, some of you think if you can just get rid of the problem as you perceive it, as you see it, as that's whatever's happened to your home or around you, that everything's going to be okay. But it won't. You're still going to be the same person you were. You see, the problem can present itself in a different manner. There are all kinds of problems in this world. And they can come upon you in ways that you never imagined. And if you have not changed on the inside, you're still the same person. And this Samaritan was full of gratitude. Well, what's the opposite of it? An ingrate. Look up that word. It's not a good word. But what is an ingrate like? Well, I'm going to tell you a first cousin to it, or be a brother, would be greed. Right? Never satisfied. Yeah. Greed. Just a little more. Just a little more. What will it take to make you happy? Just a little more money. Just a little more. You see, you are consumed and eaten up with greed. Because you have no gratitude. Thankfulness in Scripture is mentioned with, believe it or not, it will blow your mind. It says they have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. They are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. And they are listed with covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Unthankfulness. Now here's the point. And please, if you don't get anything else from this message, get this one point. There are some sins that when you see that sin, it will reveal far more about the character of that person than some other sin would. Now, I don't believe in drinking. I'm a teetotaler. But if you take a drink, it's not going to send you to hell. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Okay? Taking a drink will not send you to hell. But I'm a teetotaler. Why? Because I have no use for it. It's not good for my testimony. If I were called into a home to pray with somebody, you sure wouldn't want to smell liquor on my breath, would you? Now, if somebody has a problem with drinking and they get saved, and they still have a problem with drinking because the flesh is the flesh and they have to deal with that issue, and some of you may have that issue, some of you may have been drug addicts when you got saved, and that old flesh still craves the drug here and there, I understand that. I work with people like that. I pray with you. I'll try to help you all I can. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. That issue of whether you drink or don't drink does not reveal nearly as much about your character as where you want to hurt somebody. You're full of pride. You're an ingrate. You see what happened with Ahab and Naboth? You know that story? Ahab said, I want this vineyard next door to my vineyard. Please, let me have it. I want the vineyard. Naboth says, I can't sell it to you. Oh, he said, listen, I'll pay you. I'll give you what it's worth. From indication, he's giving more than what it was worth. Naboth said, I'm sorry, I can't sell you that. I can't. It's the inheritance of my fathers. Do you know what Ahab did? Bible says he went home, laid down his bed, turned over toward the wall, and pouted like a 5-year-old boy. That's what it says.
And so his wife, Jezebel, found out about it. Jezebel, a wicked, vile, godless woman. Aren't you the king? Can't you do as you please? Set Naboth on high, call a fast day, accuse him before the people, and we'll stone him to death and we'll take that from him. Now, wait a minute. This all started with a business agreement. This all started with the king offering to buy the property of the other man. And if he'd have sold it, that'd have been the end of the story, right? It's when he didn't get what he wanted. And the wife he was married to was a witch straight out of hell. She opened up the way to really show you what was in Ahab. Because not only, my dear friend, was he full of greed, what did greed lead to? Murder. See how closely akin they are? Are you following me now? You see how that one sin, on the surface of it, may not appear to be so bad to some people, but that one sin opens the door to a much greater one. See what I mean? And this is why certain things reveal the true character of an individual, and you better watch them. You better watch the greedy one. You better watch that one that can never be satisfied. You better watch that one. I don't care how much they got piled up. They're never happy. It doesn't make any difference how much money they got, how much power they got, how much authority they've got. It doesn't make any difference. They're never happy. And they'll play the victimhood with you and so forth and so on. On they go. It reveals. This is why the Bible says unthankful. The Lord said to the Samaritan. It's quite remarkable. Let's see if I can find the text. To the Samaritan, he said, go, thy faith hath made thee whole. Did you get that? That meant that the other nine were not whole. They just had the surface cleansed, which is good, but they're just the surface. How many of you have spent your whole life in church? You're in here every time the doors are open, and you never got any closer to God than having the surface cleansed. Took care of the immediate needs as you saw them, perceived them. You're happy as long as God takes care of the immediate need. You pray and God takes care of the problem, appears, you know, and on and on and on and on you go. Truth of the matter is, you continue to drift further and further and further and further away from God. Well, I'm going to close with this one. This is the last invitation I want to give you this morning. The Lord gave it to his disciples. John chapter 21, verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Amen. That's what he wants to do. He wants to dine with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to sit down at the table with you, eat and drink. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you into your life something that is much, much, much better for you than some superficial, physical thing. He wants to change you from the inside. And you'll know if you follow on to know the Lord. If you're willing to get in there and grunt it out and fight the good fight of faith and stick with God, God will bless you in ways that you could never have been blessed before. You know why? Because once you've done that, you're capable of receiving something you could never have received before. That's the way it works with God. You're capable of receiving from God what you could never have received from him before. Would you like to have that today? Now, I fought this morning. Because you have no idea what I went through before I got up here this morning. Before I ever walked in this building. Before I ever came into this place. You have no idea. And I've been preaching a long time. And I had to fight. And God has blessed me. He's blessed me. Amen. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Once again, he stood by my side. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for standing by my side. And I'm not special. How many of you would like for God to just say, son, I love you. Daughter, I love you.
I want you to go on with me. I want to go with you. Now let's get past the superficial. Let's get you out of babyhood. Let's move you on toward a mature Christian life. And I'll begin to show you the thing about serving the Lord and what this faith is all about. And we can go on with God. Would you like to do that? That's what I did this morning. Believe me, a lot of preachers probably would never have gotten up in the pulpit and opened up the Bible and tried to preach if they'd been through what I went through before I ever walked in this building. But God was with me, and he blessed me, and I thank him for it. Now, bow your head for a moment. Father, bless your word now. The messenger has delivered it. I'm happy. I've done what you called me to do. That's all I am, and that's all I can be, and that's all I can do. I pray that I've preached Christ to the people, preached the truth of him, preached the truth of Christ from in a scriptural perspective, in the way that men and women could relate to him and understand him and receive him. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Father, I know that people in this house today have all kinds of problems. I know that. Good night, do I ever know that. I know that. There may be some folks now going into Christmas. Everything's happy. They got their families, their little children. They have their gifts, their songs, their meals. And that's all good. That's all good, Lord. That's good. That creates memories for them. But there are some going into Christmas now that don't have a husband, that had one 6 months ago, and a child, and some of them have lost their jobs, and some of them wonder how they're going to pay their bills. And every year, it reminds them of the loved ones that have passed on. We remember them too. We remember them too. And we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. And we pray that your blessing would come upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed. Nobody looking this morning. Anybody pray? Raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, God spoke to me in that message. He spoke to me in a special way. God bless you. God, well, hands all over the place. God bless every one of you. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I've never seen the lack of hands. God bless you. Father, I'm glad that you're able to move this old boy right here out of the way and my feelings and who I am. And you're able to take your word and speak to the dear people this morning, because I wish the best for every soul in this house. Lord knows that. Lord, you know that. I wish the best for them. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, let's stand up this morning. What we got, brother?